This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
The road to redemption has brought the Warriors back home. The Golden State Warriors are the 2017 NBA champions.
Here's your host, 6'1" former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, happy holidays. Welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we are already in hour number two. So the college football conversation, as I promised, it's going to continue. Right now, we're going to pack our bags and head to Stillwater, Oklahoma. We're going to zero in on the Oklahoma State Cowboys. So delighted to have with us for the very first time a gentleman I have always admired his work, and that is Robert Allen. He does it all. He's a radio host. He's a sideline reporter for the Cowboys. And now he is the triple threat. He is an author of 100 Things Cowboy Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Welcome, Robert. Good to have you with us.
It's good to be here. Isn't that kind of a morbid title?
Well, it is an exciting book. I love nostalgic books, and you can kind of take a walk down memory lane. But, you know, this is, Robert, it's a beautiful time of year. We got the bowl season upon us, the Heisman presentation on Saturday night. And we're going to talk about your Cowboys. So what the season as it played out, 9-3 for OSU. They're going to face Virginia Tech in the Camping World Bowl in Orlando. You better bring your sunscreen. That is on December 28th. Give us just kind of your overall assessment of how the regular season played out.
Well, you know, from being a college athlete yourself, you realize how hard it is. I mean, you go into it with, dreams of grandeur for Oklahoma State. They wanted to win the Big 12 this year. They felt with Mason Rudolph and James Washington, Justice Hill, they kind of felt like he would emerge, and he certainly did as the leading rusher in the Big 12. But it didn't come true for them. 9-3, I think for Oklahoma State fans, was a little disappointing. I still think it was a fun year. There were a lot of fantastic performances. You look at, I've never seen a team score the first seven times they touched the ball ever. And Oklahoma State went into Pittsburgh, a team that later on would beat Miami, and they scored 49 points almost before you could blink. Big games. I mean, the Bedlam game, you know, how many games do you see that end 62-52?
Right.
Kudos to your alma mater and Baker Mayfield, who's probably going to collect that Heisman Trophy tomorrow night.
Our college football conversation continues after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Welcome back to the fastest 2 hours in radio. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, the college football conversation, as I promised, it's going to continue. Robert, I cannot tell you how many guests that I had on in the month of August, and all they talked about was Oklahoma State, because the expectations were, as you said, they were very high,
yeah.
You know, high hopes of being one of those, you know, top four teams in the college football playoff. So, I mean, just overall, I mean, do Cowboy fans, do they consider this season a disappointment? I know they love Mike Gundy, and he's going to stay there in Stillwater, but what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt, Alyssa, that most of the fans that I talk to on a daily basis on my radio show and that I haven't come in contact with, we have Go Pokes, which is a 24/7 sports site, and you know, most of the feedback I get is it was a disappointment. I think most of them can look through it and see the highlights, and you know, the fact that Mason Rudolph's been a fantastic quarterback to watch grow up the last, 3 years plus. He broke his red shirt, played those last three games of the 2014 season. Then, like I mentioned, James Washington, Marcel Aitman, Chris Lacy, they're all graduating receivers. And I think all three will be in the NFL. At least we'll have a chance to play in the NFL. And I think Washington will probably be a number one draft pick or a first-round draft pick. Same with Mason Rudolph. Defense is still the side of the ball Cowboy fans direct their ire at. It's probably not good to be Glenn Spencer these days. A lot of criticism aimed at the defense for this season. But I go back to the Texas game. And if the defense doesn't hold up that day, it was a 13-10 overtime win that was clinched by an interception by Ramon Richards, you don't beat Texas without the defense.
Yeah.
Of course, a lot of fans are going to say with a defense, you might have won the other three. So, again, yeah, I think the short answer to your question, yes. But I think most Cowboy fans still appreciate their team and appreciate what those kids tried to accomplish this year and what they did accomplish. And I'm with you. I'm looking forward to Orlando. I certainly have some extra suntan oil from the summer.
SPF 50, yeah.
I need a lot of it. And go to Orlando and have a good time.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, having a wonderful conversation with Robert Allen. He is a sideline reporter for his Oklahoma State Cowboys. And I got to ask you this while you're on the program, and I promise we're going to talk about your new book. But, you know, so much focus right now is on the Cowboys with their bowl game in Virginia Tech. But provide some insight. We were talking about this in hour number one. The Tennessee coaching job has now been filled. How close was Mike Gundy to taking that job at Tennessee? I mean, the Vols were very aggressive, and they came after him.
Well, he tells me not as close as you think, but yeah, I think one of the things you said, Alyssa, that Mike Gundy's not going anywhere, mm-hmm. and I think that's really true, especially now. After turning down that kind of money, if you're an athletic director looking for a coach, you're going to have to really question yourself before you try and pry Mike Gundy out of Stillwater. He told me that he saw the list of things he would be responsible for doing, speaking engagements, personal appearances, the fact that it was not negotiable, but he was going to have a two-person security team go with him everywhere he and his family went.
Oh, wow.
He asked John Curry, who was the AD at Tennessee at that point, no longer, but was on that day. He said, I don't need that. That it's not negotiable. And he said, what if I go for a run at noon? Because I usually do go for a run at noon. He said, well, those guys are going to go running with you. That was not copacetic for Mike Gundy.
Hey, Robert Allen with us just a few more minutes at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, sideline reporter for the Oklahoma State Cowboys, also has just released, teamed up with our good friends of our program at Triumph Books, has just released his book, 100 Things Cowboy Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Give us a quick hit on the bowl game and this particular matchup. I know you guys, there's a familiarity factor in terms of with their head coach with Virginia Tech, and that is Justin Fuente out of Tulsa.
Yeah, not only Justin, but Vance Bice is their
okay.
line coach.
Yeah.
He was a teammate of Mike Gundy's. He was a tight end on those teams at Oklahoma State. Brad Cornelson, their offensive coordinator, cut his teeth on Les Miles' staff as a GA. So there's actually quite a bit of familiarity. The best thing about the matchup is one of the best defenses in the country, coached by Bud Foster, who's a legendary defensive coordinator that was with Frank Beamer and stayed with Justin, against one of the best offenses in the country. I mean, you want to see the battle. Virginia Tech averages giving up 13.5 points a game. Oklahoma State averages scoring 47.5 a game. So something's going to have to give. On the other side, you know, the Cowboy defense is trying to get better. Virginia Tech's offense is trying to get better. So you should have competitive matchups on both sides of the ball. And ought to be a fun game. I'm looking forward to it. In fact, honestly, Alyssa, I was hoping to see Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah.
In that bowl game at Oklahoma State, Notre Dame. And a lot of people thought that might happen. Notre Dame's actually going to play LSU in the Citrus Bowl. But I wanted to see Notre Dame because of the stature. But I also believe Notre Dame is not as good as Virginia Tech. So Oklahoma State's actually going to have to beat a better team in Virginia Tech than I think if they'd seen Notre Dame. Now it made TCU and Notre Dame fans unhappy.
That is going to be a compelling matchup on December 28th, the Camping World Bowl in Orlando, Oklahoma State, facing Virginia Tech. So tell us, as we get ready to wrap up our interview, you've got a brand new book, 100 Things Oklahoma State Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, a nostalgic look at the program, and includes so many wonderful player profiles. You should be really proud of yourself. Give yourself a pat on the back. Good job, Robert.
Well, it's a good book in that you don't have to read it in order, although I will say this, the way I organize the chapters,
mm-hmm.
after you get past the first chapter, which is on national championships, something Oklahoma State prides itself on, and they're number four behind three California schools, but the next 12 chapters are like three Mount Rushmores, an ancient Mount Rushmore of OSU sports, a Middle Ages and then a modern Mount Rushmore. And then after that, there's chapters all over the place. You don't have to read them in order. You can read it however you want. You can put it by your bedstand and just read it when you're having insomnia. You can put it in the library in the house, whatever that room is. Some people have different rooms they call libraries, but it's appropriate reading wherever you may be sitting. And, it's just a good, fun book that for OSU fans or anybody that wants to learn about Oklahoma State. And it's not just sports. I mean, there's a chapter on Hideaway Pizza, which you probably are familiar with.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Yum.
There's a chapter on Eskimo Joe's. Mm-hmm. Chris's University Spirit, which is the number three largest sports store for a college, college memorabilia in the country. So there's all kinds of things in there that are Pistol Pete. How did he come about? He's actually a real person. So there's a lot of different things in there that'll appeal to just somebody who might be interested in the university. And I do need to mention this.
What's that?
I don't know if Triumph will be happy about it, but I did do a book. It's with Mike Gundy on the 2011 season that was printed by the Oklahoma Historical Society.
Okay.
If you can find that book, either one of them, I think you'll enjoy. Now, the book about the season in 2011, there were a lot of weird things that happened during that season, which OSU won a conference title, including that Iowa State game that OSU lost in overtime. A lot of people believe the college football playoff idea was born that night, or at least born because of that upset, trying to find the best four teams. So that's a book, too, but we're talking about Triumph and, like I told you, I think it's the 26th. There is an OU book. They do pro teams, too.
Yeah.
So you can find a lot of 100 things you need to know before you die out there.
That's right. 100 things Oklahoma State fans should know and do before they die. Author Robert Allen, radio host, sideline reporter for the Oklahoma State Cowboys, has been with us. And we have definitely got to have you back. Our segment was a little bit short, but we'd love to have you back and talk some more after the bowl game. Thank you so much.
I know this, Alyssa. When I die, I want to come back with your voice.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet.
you have a great voice.
Oh, thank you.
It's almost disappointing to talk to you on the phone because you'd rather be there in person with somebody who's got that great a voice.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much, Robert. And like I said, safe travels and enjoy the game. Lather up, okay? Don't get sunburnt.
All right, thank you.
You take care. Much more coming your way. The next generation of sports radio at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Alyssa Walker Campbell, happy holidays. Welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway, connect with us at Twitter at eRadio Sports. You can always go back and listen to all of our amazing guests over our 2 hours each and every Friday night, 8 to 10 Eastern, at podcastarena.com. And before we get underway with our next interview, we always like to take time to recognize one of our key players, and that is one of our corporate sponsors, Innospec Oilfield Services, where chemistry matters. Seasoned chemical service veterans, longtime industry innovators, custom chemical solutions and services, and they are no stranger to every major Texas energy play. Check them out online at InnospecINC.com. Well, right now we are going to completely shift gears. We are going to open up the phone lines and we're going to be visiting with the operating partner in lifestyle brands with Streaker Sports, and that is Pete Lucchese.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Glad to be on.
Okay, so for our listeners that may not be familiar with Streaker Sports, tell us a little bit about how you've been able to find your niche in the market and where we can find out where Streaker Sports is.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a sports lifestyle apparel brand based out of New York City. You can find us at streakersports.com. We are strictly e-commerce. You can also find us at some other sites. We work with Pure Hockey, another brand called Steel City, and a southern brand called Collard Green. So you can find our stuff on their websites as well. We're definitely a startup. We don't have any licenses with any of the big four, which are the MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL. But we're finding a way to fit in and, wedge our way in between the Fanatics, Adidas, and Nikes of the world, by kind of paying attention to, kind of what we see as the figures and the teams and sports that the big guys aren't paying attention to. A perfect example is we have licenses with Mike Ruzioni and Jim Craig from the 1980 Miracle on Ice team.
Oh, yeah.
So we licensed directly with them to do T-shirts and other stuff. So another guy is Bill Raftery, who, as I'm sure you know,
love Bill,
big time college basketball guy.
Sure.
And, he trademarked onions and a couple other of his sayings a couple years ago, and
the kiss.
Was looking, with a kiss, and we were lucky enough to get connected with him, and he really liked what we were doing, and so we brought him on last year as a licensee, and that was a huge moment for our brand because we ended up being all over ESPN during March Madness last year. Jay Billis was wearing our T-shirts during the 24-hour countdown.
How cool.
Yeah, so that was big for us. It's one of those things where it's like Bill's a perfect example of where, you're not going to get an Adidas or a Nike who's going to be interested in that license, but it's perfect for somebody like us. And that was huge for our brand. Like, sales were just incredible during that three-week period. So that's really kind of, where we found a nice little gap.
Hey, Pete Lucchesi is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He's the operating partner in lifestyle brands for Streaker Sports. And, you were just talking about, Pete, how you guys have been able to wedge your way into the market. There's a lot out there, and you've been able to find some gaps. How difficult was that? Because it is highly competitive.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. I think, it's really kind of happened organically where it's like, okay, what are the T-shirts that, what do we want to wear? What's out there that we can't find? And we really, our starting point was really with the guys from the Miracle on Ice team because me and my partners are all huge hockey fans. A couple of us played in college. And that was an item that's like, wait a second, like, why can't I find a Mike Rizzioni T-shirt? Why can't I find a Jim Craig T-shirt? Perfect opportunity for us. So we found the right people to reach out to. Both of them have agents, and we were able to work up a deal. And it was the same thing kind of with Bill Raftery. It's a competitive marketplace for sure, but I think it's really trying to be creative and figure out, who's not being represented. Where do we think, there's really a big opportunity? And that's not to say that it's always successful, but, we found that there's fans out there. Sports is one of those things where, you just find these incredible pockets of fans all over the country who just really, really love this sort of like niche stuff, it's been good.
Hey, Pete Lucchesi is with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. It's kind of interesting. Weigh in on this in terms of licensing gaps. How has Streaker Sports, capitalized on perhaps, the forgotten teams and athletes?
Yeah, so we, one of the other things that we've been able to do is there are so many defunct leagues from basketball, football, hockey, soccer, dating back to like the 1920s. What's been fun and awesome for us is going back and doing research on these defunct leagues and these teams. A lot of them had these really cool logos. A lot of them at the time were like hand-drawn logos done by local artists. And, what we found through our research is that up until about the mid-1980s, a lot of these teams didn't trademark their logos. It just wasn't...
Wow, that's stunning. Yeah.
Yeah, it just wasn't a thing that teams did. And that's not to say that this was every team, but a lot of these leagues, a lot of these leagues that lasted like 1 or 2 years, like the World Football League is a perfect example. They were around for a couple of years in the 1970s. These obscure teams, most people have never even heard of them. But there's some really, really cool logos. And, you know, so basically we've gone back, you know, made a, you know, essentially a collection of what we thought were the coolest logos from a lot of these defunct leagues. And, you know, it's really easy to look up to see if the logos are trademarked. And like I said, 9 times out of 10, it comes up that they're not. So they're fair game for anybody to do. So we, you know, we throw them on one of our vintage tees, and we've had a lot of success with those type of shirts.
Hey, Pete Lucchese is with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Direct our listeners, connect with them, Pete, at StreakerSports.com. When they pull up this website, what are they going to find, and what brands are on there?
Yeah, so everything pretty much is our – everything's made by us, our own brand. We have done some collaborations with brands like Knock Around on sunglasses and stuff like that, but 99% of the items are stuff that we make ourselves. Mostly T-shirts, hats, and shorts. The shorts are kind of the item that we started our brand with and kind of a keystone item for our brand. A lot of people know us for the unique throwback shorts that we do. You know, you're not going to really find other brands doing this. But we've had a lot of success with the shorts, and we've had some fun with some throwback USA stuff. And we're actually starting to form a relationship with some NHL teams who are interested in doing them with us, which is cool. So we're not going through the league. We're going through the teams directly, which just, you know, it's great for us because you don't have to pay the royalties to the NHL, and it just makes everything easier. But, yeah, you'll find a nice offering of different items and, you know, throwback stuff, current stuff, all obviously sports related.
Okay, well, I've got a 16-year-old son, and so my holiday list, it seems to never end. So if we go on that website, I mean, what would you say? We've got about 60 seconds. I mean, what are some of the hot items that perhaps a teenage boy would love to have?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, our best-selling items, it really kind of depends on the year.
Okay.
It depends on the time of the year. So our best-selling item consistently throughout the year is our Miracle on Ice. So that's the Arruzioni tees, the Jim Craig tees that we talked about. We do a lot of USA Hockey stuff. We have a really good relationship with USA Hockey. So that's consistently our best selling stuff. But we have, you know, we have something for every fan. We've got a ton of throwback football stuff, a ton of throwback basketball. We do a lot of lacrosse stuff, which is something different that a lot of other brands aren't doing yet. So I think the hottest item probably at the moment is we brought back the 1994 USA soccer jersey.
Nice.
And we brought this back in September when they were going through the World Cup qualifiers. And that was a really huge hit for us. We actually got on Fox Sports. We had some of the announcers wearing our jersey. And we got a really good feedback from the soccer community that we brought this old school jersey back. So that's still selling really well for us, even though the U.S. is out of it.
Okay, so you talk about soccer. We're a big golf family. You ever thought about anything like that? I mean, could that be something that give us, you know, perhaps in 2018 we could look forward to, Pete?
Yeah, absolutely.
Come on, bring it on.
I don't want to release too much. We're actually starting to talk with the Masters group to try to do
that. Oh, my gosh.
We got to go through a licensing process. But we're confident it's going to happen. That will be our first foray into golf and maybe some U.S. Open stuff, too, that we've been talking about. So golf is big on our radar for 2018.
Outstanding. Pete Lucchese has been with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He's the partner, creative director. Check them out. StreakerSports.com. That is StreakerSports.com. A great way to kick off hour number two. Thank you so much, Pete. We look forward to another conversation.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. The next generation of sports radio, SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, happy holidays. Alyssa Walker-Campbell with you at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Thank you so much for joining us each and every Friday night from 8 to 10 Eastern Time. And as promised, it is time to tee it up. We're going to talk some Tiger Woods, who certainly impressed in his comeback. So we're going to head to the course and go inside the ropes with our favorite guy. That is Larry Miller, who is a life member of the PGA of America and a former PGA Tour player and the author of four books on golf and performance. Good evening, Larry. Thank you for joining us.
Well, good evening on this wintry evening. The golf clubs are put away right now.
Well, it certainly has been a very exciting week. Tiger Woods, just what he was able to accomplish last weekend at the Hero World Championship. The big cat is back, and 10 months since we saw him play competitively. So, Larry, you've had a chance just over the past 5 days to kind of, digest and think about, what he was able to accomplish. So give us your reactions and takeaways.
Well, to start off with, I think that the most optimistic and impressive thing is the fact that his length seems to be back, which indicates that his body is in good shape. You can't get your maximum distance with your golf swing unless your body is really, not hurting, no injuries, and you can go full bore at it, and you can turn and torque with ease and freedom. And it looked like he was doing just that. Mm-hmm. And I think the big worry in my mind, I've never questioned Tiger's talent, but what I questioned was whether or not he would be able to swing effectively again because of his injuries and his surgeries and so forth. But, it looked like at that tournament that his length was really back. I mean, he was hitting it past Justin Thomas a few times, and that's not easy to do. You got to pump it out there, well over 300 yards. So that's, and Tiger had lost that. When these prior comebacks that he tried, his length was not there because his body was hurting. So that's impressive. His short game, his putting was really good, considering the layoff. His shots around the greens left a little to be desired, but that's to be expected. When you lay off of golf for a while, the thing that goes most is the touch around the greens that you have to do a lot of to be good at. And I think as the tournaments go on, but what you're going to see with Tiger, and he's already said that he's really going to aim for the majors. And I think you're going to see a pretty limited schedule gearing up, and trying to get ready for these majors, and that's his focus. And, Ben Hogan did the same thing late in his career because of his body and because of injuries, and he wanted to be careful, and he tried to be selective and played a limited schedule until the majors, and then he got ready and won like 90% of the time he played in the last couple of years of his career. So anyway, it sure would be exciting to see Tiger accumulate a few more majors and threaten Nicklaus's record. And who knows, the way it looked at that tournament, we might have a chance to do that. But let's be reserved and wait and see what happens when he gets on a tougher golf course with a full field.
Hey, we are inside the ropes with Larry Miller, PGA Pro, author of his new book, Ben Hogan's. He had just mentioned Ben Hogan. Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental, What He Never Told the World. It is an amazing read. Perfect as the holidays are here. What a great gift to give at Christmas. So as we do a recap of just this amazing tournament that Tiger Woods played in, three rounds, he shot under par. As you were talking about his length, he's striking the ball so well. And it really was, to me, it was inspiring to watch, because I was, to be honest with all of our listeners, I was totally surprised on how well that he did.
So was I. I didn't expect that because I didn't expect his body to allow him to swing that way. Well, apparently, whatever procedures he's had has been a benefit, has worked, at least for now. But, golf is a thing where the more you play and the more you twist and turn and torque your body, we're going to have to wait and see what the long-term effects of more action, especially under pressure, because as I said before in your show, under pressure, it's a little bit different because the muscles get a little tighter and they tense up a little bit, and you're more prone to injury when you're doing that. So we're going to see as he goes along and plays more golf under pressure whether or not his body continues to hold up but so far so good.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, what a shot in the arm for golf this would be if he would become a viable force again.
Well, it's stunning just how well he is playing this quickly with his return. And, you know, I have to say, too, you know, did we ever think that his driver would once again become perhaps his best weapon in his arsenal?
No, you know, and that was his big advantage back when he was dominating, was that he was one of the longest. And, of course, now, you know, you got jillions of them hitting it really long. But Tiger now is in that group, that upper echelon, the way he's hitting it. And so for that reason alone, you know, he's got a great chance in these majors. You know, golf has changed. You know, years ago, length wasn't the big deal, you know, because it was shot making and it was accuracy and it was short game. But the way these courses have become much longer, length is a big deal now. It's a real big deal. And if he's got that back, he's got a great chance.
Well, it was very exciting to watch the fans because they are behind him. They want him back. And it, as you had said, it really just inoculates the sport of golf. I mean, there's so much attention, a real buzz. And it was almost tangible, you know, watching it on TV, just the energy that's out there and that he creates. It's fascinating.
Well, yeah, he's a big draw, good or bad. You know, he's just a big draw. He's got the charisma. He's got the history, the popularity. You know, and so anything he does, people want to see it. They want to watch. It's like Arnie. You know, when Arnie, I remember going to the Masters. Connie and I went to the Masters four or five times.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those times was Arnie's last appearance, or second to last appearance. And I remember seeing him on the 18th tee take a backswing with his driver that was about a third of the way back and hit it out there about 190 yards down the fairway. You know, with just a little short and abbreviated swing. And you know what? Nobody cared. There were 10,000 people watching because of his charismatic, you know, personality and his draw and his popularity. And Tiger's the same way. He's got that same appeal. And so they're going to come out and watch Tiger and hope that he plays well and just, you know, cheer him on. And I just think that it would just be unbelievable if he would capture a major or two, and all the talk is going to be, can he catch Jack Nicklaus's record of 18 majors? So that's exciting for golf, and I'm glad to see it.
You ever wonder, Larry, what's going through the minds of some of the young players on tour when they have the opportunity now to compete against one of the all-time greatest? Because you definitely get a sense that they wanted him back, and they've been very supportive. I mean, Tiger has even talked about that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, they look at him like the players of 10 years ago looked at Arnie and Jack Nicklaus, and you know, the ones that made the game and made it possible for them to be playing for the money that they're playing for. But you know, these young players aren't afraid of Tiger now. And you know, when Tiger was dominating, players were afraid of him. When his name hit the leaderboard, everybody just collapsed because they knew that he was coming, you know, with birdies. But now these kids play with no fear. But let Tiger win another major or two in dominating fashion, and let's see what happens. And all of a sudden, he might regain that ability to scare people, you know, to the point that he wins more tournaments by his presence on the leaderboard.
Well, Tiger Woods, he's playing pain-free. And as his former coach Hank Haney said, you know, he's just out there playing with total freedom. There is no fear. It looks like he really is getting, you know, Larry, as we're talking about, you know, he's getting a second chance at it. But when we dissect, we break down his game. I mean, we've had this small sampling. When we dig a little deeper, I mean, what area did you see him struggle in?
The chipping and pitching around the greens. And admittedly, that course was a little difficult in that regard because the grass was cut very low around the greens. That makes it for difficult chipping. But still, that's where he's going to have to pick it up a little bit. And I'm sure he obviously knows that, and he's probably going to work really hard at that. But that comes with playing. You know, you just have to keep playing a bunch to get that touch around the greens. It's just a touch thing. You know, it's like shooting free throws,
right?
You know, which you're familiar with, and you got to have that touch and feel, and that's why you see, you know, the best NBA players in the world, they still practice free throws a lot because they have to maintain that touch, and chipping and pitching around the greens is a matter of touch. It's technique, but there's not distance required, and it's not a power thing. It's just mainly feel and touch, and so you got to keep your hand in it in order to to be consistent with it and really, you know, get those chips and pitches close enough for up and downs. You know, these guys miss four or five greens around, the best players in the world. So they're getting it up and down, you know, 90% of the time when they miss a green in order to shoot those scores that they shoot. So you've got to have that ability. It's the most important thing in competitive golf is getting the ball up and down when you miss greens in regulation. Well, that's what separates the great from the average.
Yeah, well, one of the guys that's got that magical touch when you talk about the short game is Ricky Fowler, and he was really overshadowed by Tiger's play. He was sensational, wins the Hero World Challenge. Oh, my gosh, shot and fired a 61, 11 under.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. They're not afraid to go low, I'll tell you. You know, somebody said it's because of the video games. You know, these kids, these guys like Ricky Fowler, when they were, you know, 9 and 10 and yeah. 8 and 11, they're playing golf video games. They think nothing of shooting 58, 57, you know, in the video game. So, yeah, they get on the course and they say, yeah, I can do this. They just keep making birdies. And like you said, they play with freedom and no fear, and they just attack flags. I don't care where you put the pin, they're going at it. And it's a great way to play. But, you know, when you're hitting at 300 yards plus and you've got wedges and short irons all day long, you can go for flags all day long. And but back, you know, you get the shorter. And that's why it's such a big advantage in length. It's not just the drive. It's the fact that your approaches, you know, are so short relatively that you're able to go for tucked pins.
Well, as 2017 comes to a close, you know, we're talking about Ricky Fowler. What a sensational way to finish off the year. How would you summarize how his season played out?
Well, you know, he's way overdue, you know, to break through and just win a bunch of tournaments. And I think, you know, you win one or two, and then, you know, you get the confidence to win more. And I think you're going to see it snowball with him. He's too good of a ball striker and a great aggressive player and great attitude. Great short game. He's probably poised for a really good year, I think. It's going to be interesting. You're going to have Jordan Spieth. You know, you're going to have Justin Rose, who's also playing really well. It has been for a while. You know, you got Tiger back in the mix, it looks like. It's going to be an exciting year for golf. And if we can just get through this winter, it's going to be a great season.
Hey, we are Inside the Ropes doing a full recap of Tiger Woods' outing last week right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We will be rejoined with Larry Miller.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Welcome back to our final segment at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And before we get underway with our next segment, always got to take time to recognize our exceptional radio sponsors. And one of them is Innospec Oilfield Services, where chemistry matters. Seasoned chemical service veterans, longtime industry innovators, custom chemical solutions and services, they are no stranger to every major Texas energy play. Check them out online at InnospecINC.com. Right now, we're going to rejoin Larry Miller as we are Inside the Ropes. If you're just joining us, Larry Miller is a life member of the PGA of America, former PGA Tour player. He is the author of four books on golf and performance. In fact, his latest release from 2017 is Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental, What He Never Told the World. And, you know, we've got some time. So if you've not heard Larry on our program before, Larry, why don't you take time to tell us a little bit about your book, Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental?
Okay, this book was written, my teacher, when I was getting ready to play the tour and when I first started playing the tour, my teacher was Tommy Bolt, who was a U.S. Open champion. He won at Southern Hills, and I got the opportunity to have him help me with my game. And Tommy's teacher was Ben Hogan, and his main teacher was Hogan. And according to Hogan, he really only shared what he found out about the golf swing, the entirety of it, with Tommy and with Ken Venturi, who, as you know, is also a U.S. Open champion and became a famous broadcaster, right, golf broadcaster, and great tour player. So my book basically is about everything that Tommy Bolt taught me that Ben Hogan taught him. All this stuff came straight from Hogan. And Hogan always claimed that he had a secret to a golf swing. And this book reveals that. It's a matter of geometry and structure. It's not one little tip. It's a basic structure of the golf swing that Hogan figured out. And I lay it out in this book and in its entirety. And just as Hogan told Bolt that Bolt told me, and then I also offer ways that the average player can implement what Hogan found to help their games. And what I've done with this book, and this was at the request of the publishers, they wanted me to intersperse the book with stories about Hogan. And I interviewed people who knew Hogan, and either through business or socially or through golf. A lot of them were quite elderly, you know, by now. But I interviewed these people and found out a lot about Hogan and a lot of great, great unpublished stories about the man. So I've included these in the book. I've got a lot of personal stories that I've accumulated over my long time in the game. And so it's a great, it's not only a fun read, and it's not only entertaining, but it's also very educational for the average golfer and also very beneficial to their games. So great Christmas gift to yourself or to a golfer in your life. So I highly recommend it. It's Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental. It came out in March, and it's available at every bookstore and then also on Amazon.
And I will be posting it tonight on my Twitter feed. Hey, Larry Miller has been with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Always a wonderful conversation. And stay warm this weekend, and we will talk next week. Thank you so much, Larry.
Yes, hopefully we'll be talking. It'll be 70 degrees instead of 35.
Okay, fingers crossed.
Thank you.
You bet. That was Larry Miller each and every week right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We go inside the ropes for the latest PGA news and notes. A very special thank you to all of our amazing guests. We had a power lineup tonight.